There's a few things I'm feeling or sensing. How many of you are feeling like you have been in an ongoing battle and it doesn't feel like you are winning? It feels like an ongoing battle and you're not really winning. How many of us are in a situation, some sort of, some kind, where you're feeling a little bit discouraged and you just want to give up? And that's what I've been feeling. It's like there's a lot of pushing and feeling like you're not really winning, and a sense of discouragement, a feeling like you're in this dark tunnel and doesn't seem to be light anywhere at the end of a tunnel. Love you too, Rodney. So, in those situations we are in, we are experiencing and feeling, the easiest thing to do is to give up. Or run. And a few weeks ago, I was meditating on something, and I just realized running is probably one of the most common responses to issues. But the thing about running, we are always running away from something. And I felt the Lord say, if you're going to run, other than running from something, run to something. But better yet, run to someone. And the someone we can always run to is incredibly all the time there, all the time listening, and all the time patient, all the time forbearing, all the time enduring. So if we're going to run, let's run to Jesus. Because the further away we run from Jesus, the further away we get to the answer, the further away we get to the help, and the further away we get to the solution. Does that make sense? Relationships are pretty much that way. I figured I can fight against Nicole, or I can fight with her. In fighting with her, I'm not punching her, but it is her and me punching someone else. So probably the fighting with is also a part that we misdirect, because it is just like walking with her. And it's in that place where, in fighting with her, we are fighting for each other, towards accomplishing a common goal and purpose that we are all looking for and much more desiring. And really this morning, instead of preaching a sermon to us, I just want us to process and work through what we are running away from to better yet maybe repurpose, refocus our attention to who we can run towards, to who we can run to. I was looking at Romans chapter 5. Anybody remembers who that is? Yeah. Maybe we can start from the beginning. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Verse 1 says, our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. Okay, so there's just something incredible in the opening of chapter 5. That your faith, your belief, your conviction in Jesus, okay? The better part is, faith is a substance of things hoped for. So, in a way, it is not something you are yet seeing. It has not yet materialized. It's not manifested. It's not tangible. It's not something you can touch. It's not something you can smell. It's just something you are hoping. Okay, so the good part about it that encourages me is, you don't have to have seen any result. You don't have to have seen any fruit in your life for the byproduct of the transference of his hope, his righteousness, to move from Jesus to you to take place. I don't know if you understand that. Okay? So because most often we feel discouraged and down and out, it's because we are not feeling the results. We are not seeing the fruit. In our culture where we are performance oriented, one of the biggest issues is lack of the result. Because the only way you quantify a performance culture is by result, is by fruit. But the way you quantify your walk with God is by trust, by faith. So that means our culture, in the way of the kingdom operation, sets us to fail even before we begin. Because the way we judge the results is by the substance, by the seeing, by the touching. I mean, how do you know your business is doing well? It's because you made profit. Why did God call you into business? So you can use it as a medium through which he can extend his kingdom through you. So how is God measuring your success in business? By how well he is able to extend the manifestation of the kingdom in you and through your business. Does that make sense? So it is entirely possible to be very successful in business on every other standard but God's standard. Does that make sense? Which is okay if the platform of our walk is based by the other standard. So, we're just having a talk with Jeffrey earlier this morning. He was talking about John G. Lake. He was a doctor, and he did a few businesses. And they were very successful. One of the measures of very successful was that every client he did business with was led to the Lord, came to salvation. So, can you imagine every client just about he did business with found Jesus? Okay. He made a lot of money too. But the point is, what we live for, first and foremost, is our relationship with God and the response in our relationship with God in the doing, in the participating, in the being part of with God. If we are not experiencing the part of, part with, participating with, and with God, then we are halfway there. Okay, does that make sense? I remember the first time I went back to Zambia in 2008, I went on a public bus, which is probably they still even do. If you get on a public bus, like Kangaroo, Bus Line, CityLink, all those things in Zambia on a Sunday like today, every bus has a preacher in it preaching on the bus. And these are bigger buses. So you get on the bus, there's a preacher, he gets on board, he preaches a full-on sermon, even collects offering on the bus. And when the sermon finishes, he hops off the next station. I'm like, incredible. Fancy that. And people are passing in the bucket in the bus. And then he gets on the bus from the other way, going the other way, preaches another sermon. Okay, so the point I'm trying to highlight here, I used business as an example. In going back is we measure success by results. We measure success by fruit. Okay? Now, the thing about fruit is it takes a long time to come on the tree. Okay? So, if you plant a mango tree, you might be waiting probably 3 years before you ever get it, or even more. We've planted some mangoes here few years ago, and we haven't even seen a mango yet. Okay, that's 7 years. We haven't seen a mango yet. Now, the thing is, if we are wired to gauge our success by the fruit, we'll be feeling as though we are the biggest pack of failures this 7 years. Does that make sense? Because for that 7 years, there is no fruit. Because that fruit takes time to grow, develop, and get to a place where it begins to bear fruit. Now, that is the point God is talking about. This is the point in your life where God is introducing a word called faith, where you can have absolute confidence in what is as though it is. Okay? Now, I hear you say, yeah, but how long? Which is a good question. What fruit are you growing? If you are growing tomatoes, why doesn't it won't take that long? If you are growing peaches, probably it'll take long. So just because the guy growing tomatoes was harvesting in 3 months, you think you should be harvesting your apples in 3 months too. Why do we do that? It is because we measure our success in comparison to someone else. When we measure our success in comparison to someone else, well, someone else is growing something else. So you cannot even begin to compare. Does that make sense? So if you are looking for a fruit of lettuce and someone else is looking for a fruit of cabbage, the cabbage would take long to form, grow the head and get bigger, while your lettuce is just going to be broom. And then the tender and the baby she teased, the soft and the yummy and the salad. So some are meant to be picked off early, some are meant to wait longer. Right. So you understanding what I'm trying to say? Okay, if we are, then we'll continue. So our faith in Christ Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us. Okay? So there is your righteousness, which is as filthy rags, and there is his righteousness, which is perfect. And all you have to do is believe that everything he is, you are. And the prerequisite to believing, there doesn't need to be any evidence at all. Does that make sense? Yeah, but you smell. Well, I just believe I'm like him. Because the circumstances naturally catch up with your conviction. Okay? Your circumstances will catch up with your conviction. Unfortunately, this would work both ways. So if you are convinced that you are garbage, you are rubbish, you are nothing, you are not too good for nothing, that's the circumstance that will catch up with that conviction. Okay? And this is why you are not allowed to think bad thoughts over yourself. You're not allowed to think bad things over yourself. Okay? Totally. Not allowed. Because it is a violation against God's confidence in you. Probably one American general they didn't have a very good day in battle. And then somebody saying, well, today we got a good devil's beating. And the general responded, that's all right, we'll lick him tomorrow. So in a sense is, you may not have experienced victory today, but never give up a hope for a breakthrough. Never give up hope for what God has in store. Does that make sense? So irregardless of what today looks like, come on, wake. Irregardless of what today looks like, the thing about tomorrow will present another opportunity for a rematch, for a do-over, for a start-over, for a reset. So how does God see you? Flawless. How does God see you? Flawless. Because by faith, there's the transaction and the transference that has taken place. I don't feel perfect. I'm just perfect. You understanding that? You may not feel like it, but it doesn't change the word. I may not sound perfect. My God, I'm perfect. What about what you did yesterday? Well, I never did anything yesterday. You mean when I died on the cross yesterday and rose from the dead with Jesus? Because that's the only record that God has. Totally. What that means is, James, is God has done everything you would ever need to do and has paid the price for every mistake you've ever made. All you gotta do is, I'm in on this. Just say, yeah. Come in, deal me in. That's all you gotta do. Just say, deal me in this deal. Because he's done it all. Okay? This means we can enjoy true and lasting peace. Yay! Why can you enjoy true and lasting peace? Because somehow you convinced yourself that actually what he said is true and all my sins are gone because of what he did. I'm perfect. I'm flawless. Can you imagine what peace that brings to your heart, knowing you do not have any more accounts to settle? Feels pretty good. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what the Lord Jesus has done. Yeah, this is an important part. You can enjoy perfect peace and joy all because of what Jesus has done. He's done it all. There's a little bit more. Our faith, yeah, that conviction of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen, that thing says guarantees us permanent access into this marvelous kindness that has been given, a perfect relationship with God. Okay. Now, there's few bits of good news there. Your faith guarantees you a permanent, okay? Brings you on a position that cannot be shaken, cannot be moved, cannot be withdrawn, cannot be revoked, cannot be taken away. It is yours permanently. Permanently. All day, every day. Permanently. Guarantees you perfect relationship with God. What did you do? Nothing. Yes, you believed. You believe that God, He is who He says He is, and He will do what He promised He will do no matter what. If He says you're going to have a hundredfold harvest, it doesn't matter whether you've got the worst El Nino drought of the year, it does not change what He said. If He said you're going to have a harvest, the drought even makes the harvest even a lot more interesting. Because His word is absolute. His words actually transcends circumstances and situations. His word is actually bigger than the circumstances. So what that means is, His promises to you cannot be undone by circumstances. Because His word to you will undo circumstances. So why build our lives on circumstances? Okay? Circumstances are temporary. His word is permanent. And that is what is inviting you and I to that place where we can enjoy permanent, established, ongoing relationship with God. All because we believed Him. Okay? Discouragement happens when the circumstance looks more real than the promise. Say that one again. Discouragement happens when circumstances look so more real than the promise. And that means your God is a tiny God. That means my God is a tiny God. But if we recorrected, raised our gaze, and focused on the bigness and the hugeness of God, we come to realize that He's actually far huger, far bigger than any circumstance. And that creates a platform for a breakthrough. He said, heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall remain. And that's what makes His promises to you a permanent hope or foundation. Can you imagine? The heavens will pass away, but what He promised shall surely come to pass. This is a revelation Abraham tapped into. You remember that story? Abraham, I'm going to give you a sign, and it gives you a sign. I'm going to use your son through your son. He's going to be a father to multitudes, and you fill the whole earth. Remember that? And then before the son gets a girlfriend to start the population program, God is promising Abraham, God says, kill him. Okay, somehow in there, Abraham is figuring God's word is unchanging. So God said, through Isaac, I'm going to be a father to many nations. So somehow, we're going to kill Isaac. Not only are we going to kill him, we're going to burn him as a sacrifice. And when he's completely burnt into ashes, somehow God is going to get the ashes, bring them back into Isaac, and he gets a wife, and we fill the earth. So when Abraham is agreeing to sacrifice Isaac, he's not giving up on the promise of being a father to many nations. Because somehow, though we do not understand how he's going to work it out, and that's the whole thing about it. This is part of the Greek methodology we've inherited in the Western culture, and which makes us very different from the Jewish way of looking at Scripture. Okay, the Greek way of looking at Scripture is working out the ins and outs. How does this work? Well, it doesn't matter how it works. Okay? Well, you and I, in our Greek way of thinking about things, we're looking at how does it work. The Jews are looking at who works it. So how it works is irrelevant. Who works it is what matters. Does that make sense? So we find out, okay, we're going to build the church for the Lord. How are we going to pay for it? Well, actually, I would like to focus on who's going to pay for it. Not how. And have you noticed one of the best selling or most read articles on the internet is how it works? Because we're very engrossed with how it works other than who works it. Okay. Who works it? God. How he does it doesn't matter. I mean, who cares? Did anybody look at those words, reading the words on the screen during the worship? How many of us really understand how this works? Not really. It just has to work. Faith is kind of like that. Okay, so your position is permanent, and this is why the Bible says, for the giftings and the calling of God over your life are without repentance. Okay, that means it's the promises that God has given you. He's not going to change his mind. You, however, on the other end, can change your mind whether you want to follow it or not. But he's not changing his mind of what he's given you. Okay, and pretty much that's where we began. I'm feeling discouraged, so I'm giving up. Okay, that means God has not given up on you and the promises for you. It is you who's chosen to give up on God's promises for you. Does that make sense? Okay, I think there's good news at the end of it all. Verse 3 says, but that's not all. Don't you love it when the Bible says that's not all? That means there's a little bit more. Okay? Say there's a little bit more. Okay, some of you didn't get it. There is a little bit more. Let's try again. There is a little bit more. Much better. Verse 3 says, that's not all. Okay? That's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence. That's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence. What is this joyful confidence based on? Knowing that the promises we carry will endure circumstances, will linger way further past the troubles. It is because we understand that our troubles are temporary. The solution is permanent. And that in itself is an incredible occasion for not just joy, not just confidence, but joyful confidence. If you read the scripture that says the Lord sits in heaven and laughs at your enemies, why? Because he knows that all the attempts of the enemies over your life are just pathetic. Because his solution and his hand on your side is just way bigger. He sits in heaven and laughs. So why does he say joyful confidence? After I figured that out, he's participating with God, laughing at the enemy. Because his trials and attempts are just laughable. I heard a testimony years ago. It was Pastor Schambach. Anybody ever come across a guy, Schambach? He was saying he traveled for ministry and he was in a hotel room and then he heard these noises. And he wakes up, he sees the demon in his room. Huge demon. And he just says, oh, so it's you, devil. Turns the other round and keeps on sleeping. What would you have done if you woke up, there was a demon in your room? Jesus, make it stop! He just rolled over and just, oh, it's you. And knowing that the one that is on your side is far bigger, far greater. So most of the time we panic is we lose sight of his bigness. Remember Gehazi and Elisha. When these Syrian soldiers came and Gehazi, the servant to Elisha, was terrified. And Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes so he can see that more are them that are with us than those that are against us. So the moment his eyes opened and he was able to see that actually he was packing more than the enemy, it instantly brings joyful confidence in knowing you will be okay. So, I guess the long talk of where we're going is, in those situations we're feeling incredibly pressed and overwhelmed, when we're thinking, feeling we're in this ever-running dark tunnel without light near in sight, it is a reminder that our focus is drifting from him to the situation. It becomes a quick test of where your focus is at. Does that make sense? You see, peace is not the absence of troubles, but the presence of Jesus. Do you understand that? Peace is not the absence of trouble. It's the presence of Jesus. Troubles, problems will always be there 100% of every single minute of your life. The difference is the manifestation of his presence makes the troubles seem to disappear or fade away. Does that make sense? This is important. Troubles you always have. The difference is his presence. Remember that song we sing? When you walk in the room, what happens? Everything changes. When does everything change? When he walks in the room. So probably the better truth of that song, because he just doesn't walk in the room, he's always in the room, it is when you become consciously aware of his presence, that's when everything begins to change. So the trick to life is training yourself to walk in a constant awareness of his presence. Then it will seem like all your problems never existed. Let me put it in a way probably you understand. Bills you will always have. The difference is whether you have money in the bank. Does that make sense? Bills you always have. Not this bill. Okay? You always have bills. But bills are more of an issue if there's no money in the bank. For as long as there is money in the bank, bills are never an issue. You understand that? So right here, we are sitting here, talking, making bills with electricity. But when there's no money in the bank, that's when the reality of the bill becomes apparent. It's like that. Jesus is money in the bank. For as long as he's in the bank, bills don't seem to matter. Situations don't seem to matter. Circumstances don't seem to matter, because with every circumstance, trouble, and problem you have, there is an equal, not an equal, there is a more than equal, far abundant, far exceeding solution. Little problem, big answer, which writes off the problem. Does that make sense? Okay, if that makes sense, well, I was just meant to do verse 5, but I think we are now on verse 4. Okay? But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our precious, anybody got some pressures? Knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character. And proven character leads us to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Okay, so now that's an incredible part. So, circumstances are apparently meant to create a certain pressure in you. When we used to run discipleship training school at YWAM, we used to call the first 3 months of the course the pressure cooker. That's where every attitude is popped up to the top. You never know what attitudes are in you until the pressure is applied. And then when the pressures of things in us pop up to the top, then God can start dealing and working through them. So for some of us, I've been praying, God, work in me. God, change me. Yes, he's going to do it, but I'm not sure you're going to like how he's going to do it. Lord, make me pure and holy. Did you seriously pray that? Just wait for it. See, because for him to be able to do that, he's going to check the stuff that needs refining. And nothing brings out the stuff like some good old-fashioned pressure. And those pressures for each one of us are different. For some of us, it just brings people that really knows how to find our buttons and push them. Beep, 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 beep. And really give the buttons a good pushing. And then all the deep-seated heart issues come to the surface. Okay? There is a method in God for that. Remember, the focus is not how he does it, it's who does it. You remembering? What's the focus? Who does it, not how he does it. So the pressure brings that patient endurance. Why is patience important? Because the fruit that God is working in your life take time. You gotta learn to be patient. You gotta learn to wait for the fruit. Because if you're not gonna learn to wait for a fruit, you're gonna be a person that aborts every promise that God gives you. Because you cannot have the patience and the endurance to wait until its maturity. Does that make sense? So to make sure that you're a person that is going to get the fruit, we got to teach you to be a farmer. Wait. You know that steak you had last night? The farmer had to wait 3 years before he could get it to the market. You know that fruit you had? The farmer had to wait a couple of years before it can get to there. Okay? So he wants you to learn what? Patience. And nothing teaches patience than delaying a few things. Okay? And that's the other point. God's delay does not mean rejection. And that's where a lot of us don't get God right here. When it gets longer, we feel, whoa, it wasn't God's will. Whoa, it was God's will. Maybe you just need to wait a little bit longer. Okay? And in that, there's your favorite old-time scripture. His ways are not your ways. Neither are your thoughts are his thoughts. But I can guarantee you, his ways are better. And his thoughts are far better. And that little patient endurance is going to produce what? Some character. Okay, now this is where you're getting warm. It is about who's doing it. And character has to do with relationships. Are you seeing where his focus is? His focus is not on the result. His focus is on the relationship. If we're doing it the Greek way, we're not worried about the relationship, so we'll focus on the result, and then the character doesn't really matter. But because he is a person and he's about relationship, he does not put your results, performance, or giftings ahead of your character. Does that make sense? So probably one of the saddest things we find in the church is that person has got the worst character ever, but has got the anointing to heal cancer. So we're going to invite him. That's one of the dumbest things I hear in the church all the time. So what are we valuing? The gifting and not the character. Okay? So it is a person's endurance that is going to bring character. And that character does not disappoint. It brings hope that does not disappoint. That character leads to hope that does not disappoint. Okay? Now, hope is a person. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? Now that hope is a person, we need a character developed in us. What is character? Character is, we most often confine character to behavior. Character is not just about behavior. Character is a manifestation of who we truly are when nobody is watching. Does that make sense? And there is always a consistency between hope and character and faith. Okay? Because in our character, we're going to have complete confidence that God is who he says he is and will do what he says he will do. So we've got complete confidence in the character of God, that he is never changing, because we know his character is never changing. That's why you have confidence to go to him tomorrow after your biggest stuff up, knowing his reaction to you will be discernibly, predictably consistent. Does that make sense? So, the biggest challenge for me as a father is to convince my kids that whatever they do, there is a certain baseline they're going to expect of my reaction. So it is that baseline of my reaction that gives them confidence of what to expect. Does that make sense? And that is the consistency in the character of God. The baseline is whatever situation you find yourself in, his loving kindness endures forever. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in him, his love is unconditional. Whatever circumstances you're going to find yourself in him, he's slow to anger, abiding in mercy. And that's what gives you confidence to keep on going back. If he was like me, where you don't know what you're going to get, you'd be thinking a million times before you go. Does that make sense? And this is why the richness of the minor, the little things that seems like little things that Paul runs on. Like it just seemed to be skimming across. So he wants to know that the character of God is consistent. And it is that character of God that is consistent, that should be consistent in you as well, which will give you a consistent reaction and response that will give you incredible confidence and hope that you know you'll never be let down or disappointed. Does that make sense? Or is that just too much things that moves from simplifying to complicating? Okay? So let's sum up. Hope is a person, and as a name, his name is Jesus, the hope of glory. Who is where? In you. So inside you lives a consistent, persistent, unchanging, unwavering, unchanging nature and character of God that you can always run to. So if we're going to run, we got to run to someone. That is something we can consistently run to and expect unfailing kindness all the time, every time. Okay? All this is because of not of anything we've done, it's because of everything he's done. And our confidence begins to build and develop based on who he is and not what we see or the results or the fruit we are able to see. Does that make sense? So that means if that becomes an applicable truth for us, we got to apply the same truth to other people. Meaning, we begin to see people as flawless as he sees them, regardless of how much of a challenge they may seem to be. Because we are not the benchmark, he is the benchmark. And the benchmark says they are flawless. Aren't you happy we are not the judge? Okay? So now, if he sees them flawless, that means even though we do not see the evidence of the perfection in them, he's expecting us to begin to treat them as such, regardless of the physical natural manifestation or the lack of physical natural manifestation. Does that make sense? So how does God see Tony? Yeah. In whichever way he sees them, whatever natural evidence to the contrary, I'm seeing, or you are seeing, well, you are seeing Sue. Ignore that over how he sees them. Now, imagine for a second if you all looked at each other that way. It'll be a perfect world you live in. Then those talks, man, I'm not meaning to gossip, but I'm just going to tell you this so we can pray for that poor soul. Well, just pray for the poor soul without. How come all the prophetic words are always positive? Well, because we are trying to speak into what God sees over what we don't. And that is a true mark of honor. We celebrate people for who they are and not what they are not. Does that make sense? Focus on who they are, not what they are not. Okay, let's finish. All this was to say, if your problems are looking big, then we are not looking at God long enough. That's why God looks small and the problem looks big. Because the truth is God is far bigger than the problem. So, what would we call that if we magnified our problems and shrunk God? It's called unbelief, which is what? Sin. So meaning, all of us that have been feeling that way, we have been sinning. How have we been sinning? We shrunk God and magnified the issues. We believed the circumstance over His word, me included. So, when we sin, where will be the best place to start from? Repenting, yay! Let's stand and do that. So, Father, we thank You that You're a big, good God. I'm just so sorry that I've lost track of Your faithfulness and of Your goodness to me and focused on the circumstances and the issues that are going on in my life and family. I ask You to forgive me and help me redirect my focus on Your goodness, on Your faithfulness, and on Your mercy. In Jesus' name, who's made everything possible for me. Amen. Now, take about a minute. In your own words, just talk to God in whichever way you feel He's been touching or talking or bringing in your heart this morning. Lord, I just ask, even as the saints minister to one another, let hope arise. Let hope arise in the name of Jesus. You know, from the core of our hearts and who we are, hope arise. Hope arise, hope arise, hope arise, hope arise. From every dark challenge, trouble, difficulty, let hope arise. Let hope arise. Let hope arise in the name of Jesus. Let hope arise, hope arise. Let hope arise in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just pray for a greater manifestation of Your faithfulness, a greater manifestation of Your hand, a greater manifestation of Your love, a greater manifestation of Your kindness and goodness. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I speak hope to your heart. I speak hope into your circumstance. I speak hope into your situation. And I just pray in the name of Jesus that this will be the hour of your deliverance. This will be your hour of your salvation. This will be the moment of your breakthrough in the name of Jesus Christ. Shandaria kasenderia bababa. Shaka mama mamanderia kasenderia kashenderia bababa. Hope arise, let hope arise, let hope arise. Let hope arise. Arise, His enemies be scattered, and God arise.
His enemies be scattered. Let God arise. His enemies be scattered. Let God arise. The one in me is greater than the devil. The one in me is greater than the devil. The one in me is greater than the devil. Let God arise. Amen.